The views and opinions expressed in this episode are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Gwen and Mercy Academy High School, Sisters of Mercy, or any related affiliate.
Welcome back to the Monarch Impact Podcast. My name is Brenna Scotland, and I'm a current 10th grader at Gwinnett.
And I'm Erin Remo Clements, a member of the class of 2012 and Gwinnett's Director of Alumni Engagement.
Joining us today is Alex McMacken, a member of the class of 2010 at Gwinnett Mercy Academy. While at Gwinnett, she served as a Gwinnett ambassador and was involved with the field hockey team. She received her undergraduate degree in marketing and communications in the School of Communications at American University. She worked for Philly's B101 Radio as the promotions coordinator and director of promotions and was a marketing communication specialist for Comcast. She volunteers for Project by Project, a leadership development organization that empowers the Asian American community and plays the role of the event manager. Now she is a campaign manager for Paramount. Welcome, Alex.
Hey, Alex. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
Yes.
This is Brenna.
Hi.
Hi, nice to meet you.
You too.
Yeah, thanks for chatting with us and getting on with us on a Friday afternoon. We were just talking about our weekend plans and such. Do you have anything going on?
No, I'm booking in like a spa appointment. I think I'm gonna go to a Korean spa.
That sounds ideal. I'm very jealous. Great. That's awesome. Fantastic. Well, so we'll get started. I'll let Brenna kind of take it away.
Okay. So you were involved in a lot of extracurriculars such as PAL, Student Ambassadors, Diversity Club. What skills did you gain from these clubs?
Good question. Yeah, like I was saying before, I had to dig into the archives of my brain and say, oh gosh, yeah, what were those clubs and why did I get involved in the first place? And I think one, I remember the reason, I think the through line for all of those clubs was sort of a community and like trying to find like an acceptance of sorts. And I think each of those clubs had that in their own way. And something that I learned from them was just accountability and showing up, you know, like not phoning it in, actually going to the meetings on time. And then once I was in leadership positions on those teams to like actually execute, and like come up with a game plan for the purpose of why we're there. Gain more followers and to just follow through in general.
Did those skills like help you throughout your career?
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of just the basis in life, you know, whether it's professionally, you know, you show up and you're in meetings and you're paying attention. You're fully there. You're not just, you know, screen off and doing a bunch of things on the side, paying attention and like giving it your all.
Also, you were captain of the field hockey team your senior year. How did this leadership role help you in your journey?
Sure. Yeah, did a lot of sports at Gwinnett. Field hockey was kind of like my main sport. In general, it helps with communication, I think, and understanding your own leadership style. I think a lot of lessons were learned in figuring that out. Because, you know, you can look around and see like, oh, well, this is how this senior did it. And then I'm just going to copy and paste that. But it doesn't always work with your personality. So I think there were a lot of lessons learned there to say like, all right, how do I best communicate? How do I best lead? And then what's like the best thing for the team?
Absolutely. And that community that you mentioned and kind of, you know, building that, I feel like Gwinnett does such a great job of that. I mean, we're a tiny little school of just about 400, and, you know, having that community and understanding how other people work and how you work with them is so important. And I know we were chatting a little bit before the podcast started about teachers who may have made an impact. Do you have anybody off the top of your mind who, you know, really kind of stuck with you or taught you something that has really impacted you over the years?
Yeah, I think for me, a teacher that stood out was Mrs. Gordon. So I don't know if she's still there, but she was our theology teacher.
She isn't, but I've seen her. She's come back to visit. And actually, I was just writing a letter to her recently this morning. So
Love
yeah,
that.
she was great.
And I don't know if you remember Allison Zucca. Like, she was invited to Allison's wedding, so I think that's the last time I caught up with her in person. But no, Mrs. Gordon was awesome. I think, especially from like a theology perspective, I think sometimes, at least traditionally, it was like you read the book, it is what it is, right? It's kind of black and white, and this is what you should believe. She really, pressed us to say, like, well, why? Yes, this is, the teachings of theology, but you can ask questions and question it. And then when you get into the real world, how are you going to apply it? So I think she just helped to expand my knowledge and make me a more critical thinker in general.
Absolutely. Yeah, she was a fantastic teacher. She was actually my freshman homeroom teacher as well. And I agree, she had a really unique way of approaching theology, and helping you to apply it to lots of different parts of your life. So I
Totally.
definitely agree. I really loved Mrs. Gordon. And in your time here at Gwinnett, you're exploring so much, you were doing so many different clubs and sports and all of that. Was there a moment when you realized that you might want to one day go into the entertainment industry? Is that something you realized while you were here, or is that something that came later?
Yeah, I don't know if there's one specific instance. Thinking back, I think I always just was into it, And my mom pointed out, actually, she's like, when you actually liked sitting down and watching commercials, like, aside from the actual content and the shows, you enjoyed it, and then you would talk about it and say why you liked it or what stuck out to you. And she vividly, I don't remember saying this, but she said that I said I wanted to work on an ad in the Super Bowl, or just some big sports events, which I have. Or it wasn't the Super Bowl, but I've gotten to do an ad for the Olympics. So
That's
slowly
awesome.
but surely making that dream come true. But yeah, I think it's always been with me, I guess, since I was young.
That's great. You put it out into the universe at a young age and made it happen. That's amazing.
So after Gwinnett, you attended American University School of Communications. How was it like moving to Washington, D.C.?
It was good. I think for me, yes, it was that perfect distance. I looked a lot of places for school and originally thought California. I think I was still a little bit more of a homebody, so I wanted to stay East Coast. So that like 3 to 4 hour buffer was great for me. And then, yeah, just being at the heart of the city with all the global news, it was awesome. Yeah, I really loved that city.
Did your college experience aid you in your career?
Definitely did. Again, I played field hockey in college as well, so I think that definitely helped shape me into the person that I am. Kind of reiterating the same themes of like teamwork, communication, working with like multiple personalities and different people, and how like how they like to work. So yeah, I've definitely applied that to every job that I've had since that.
You've had such like a broad career. How did you get from college to now?
It's a great question. It's definitely true. When I look back at my own resume, I'm like, yeah, I was kind of leapfrogged around trying to figure it out. Because even, yeah, in the scheme of entertainment, like that's so broad. I think I remember thinking, all right, well, sports, I was an athlete. So sports marketing, go there. Wasn't my favorite aspect. It kind of like tainted how I viewed sports in general. So I tried to like adjust. Okay, let's go to radio, like just trying to get into media any way I could. And then slowly but surely making my way more toward like the TV side where I'm at now. A lot of trial and error. Maybe that's the better answer. Yeah, trying to figure out like, okay, maybe this. Scoping it out, giving it, maybe 2 to 3 years. And then you are able to ask more questions. You're able to network. You're able to meet more people within that field. Like once your foot's in the door, it's really up to you to like find the people and find the departments that you're more interested in. So yeah, I did that every
Absolutely.
job.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the same way. I was in a career in media, and now I work at Gwinnett. And now I'm recording podcasts, which is media again. But yeah, it's you kind of figure out what you want to do over time, and no path is linear. I always try to remind the students here that. And so you're currently a campaign manager at Paramount, correct? Which can you walk through us, like, what does a day, I know it's probably never looks the same, but what does a day in your life look like in your role?
So, more specifically, I work like in CBS, and then I work on all of the dramas. So most likely the shows that your moms like to watch, you know, your Blue Bloods, your Equalizers, some Fire Country, and all like the CSIs, all the acronyms I'm in charge of. But yeah, it's sitting down, you know, from top down. You have meetings with executive producers, you go over scripts. So we will get scripts and we'll know what's going to happen in the show ahead of time, right? Because we need to work backwards and figure out how to market it. So I work hand in hand with the brand team to understand how do we market one CBS or network in general, but then how do we specifically market the shows? So working with lots of different people. So working with PR, like I said, the executive producers, working with brand teams, working with agencies to get that done. So a lot of meetings, a lot of Zooms. And then the fun part is getting to, you know, go on set for a photo shoot, a promo shoot, or an EPK, and like getting those content capture moments and then executing from like paid media buys, and then you see it on TV.
That's so cool. I'm a big Brother fan, so I'm the reality side of CBS, but so I'm always seeing the ads though during the commercials. I love it. So now I'll know that that's you working behind
It's so fun. We
there.
have, they call them pods. So we have different teams. So there is a reality pod, there is a drama pod, there's,
That's cool.
Very cool.
So as a manager, you're constantly organizing and planning. Did you always have that skill of time management, or did you like learn it through your job?
I probably can give a lot of that credit to Gwynedd. Do you guys still have those red books?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny you say that. When I first got back here in 2020, they still had the red books and none of the girls used them because now everything's digital. And I was like, guys, this is the best tool ever. You need to use your red book. And so now they've stopped printing them because it was unfortunately not something they use, but they have their computers and their phones all day. So they use that to schedule. But I agree, red books were the best.
Red books are the best, man. And even I joke with my friends, but not really, that we should have a shared Google calendar so we understand when everybody's, you know, you're out of town, you're out of the country. It's just to coordinate socializing with each
Absolutely.
other.
For the listeners who don't know what a red book is, which I know Brenna doesn't know, it's basically a schedule, like a planner, but it was just for Gwyneth. It like had a red cover. And we used to write down like the letter days and everything at the beginning of the month and what
Oh my
was
gosh.
going on. And yeah, it was the
Aaron,
best.
I had a I still have Facebook. Okay. So don't judge me. But you know, the remote or history, like, oh, on this day, 14 years ago, my goodness. I asked, like, what letter day is it? I reposted it. It was like, that is the most wanted thing I've
But like it
ever
was
seen.
definitely like a weird day, like an R day or a Z day, which now we only have A through H. But yeah,
You had the whole alphabet?
no, we had
It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense.
M T W R F S N and Z.
That's so random.
They're the days of the week plus Z.
Oh. Yeah.
But yeah, it was very confusing and they were never in order.
Nope.
Like it was like you'd have like
Oh.
them all in different orders. So you had to write them down in your red book because we didn't have like emails and stuff. I mean, email existed, but not for us. But
Oh, man.
yeah.
That
Throwback.
old. Yeah. Yes, that archaic system set me up for success.
Yes.
I still like writing things down. I really think so. I remember specifically like my first year in college thinking like, wow, I am way more prepared than I thought I was, you know? That was actually a really big moment of relief for me, realizing like, wow, Gwen prepared me really well. I think that first semester can really overwhelm a lot of freshmen in college. And I was actually really confident and felt really good about where I was and how I could handle, yeah, juggling multiple activities. And thinking back, like, oh, this is easy. I only have 4 classes a week at one, and I had 8 classes a day, or, you know, 5 tests maybe in one day. I was like, this is, I can definitely spread this out. This is cake.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. College seemed like an easy transition in that way. And you just knew, like, I can juggle this. This is fine.
So you volunteer at Project by Project as an event manager. Can you explain what Project by Project is and what inspired you to help lead the organization?
Yeah, so it's a leadership development organization. So if specifically geared toward the Asian American community. So obviously that was a big component of it, being Korean American. And I like that it's sort of split in two. So one half is like professional growth development. So we'll have like networking events, or we'll help each other with public speaking and just networking in general. A lot of great young professionals in the group. And then the other half is philanthropy and giving back, specifically in the Asian community. Each year we partner with a nonprofit organization. There's sort of like an overarching theme, because this is a national organization. We have bases in LA, San Francisco, and New York. So the committee overall will decide the theme. Last year was education. This year it's like food scarcity or insecurity. And then, yeah, we'll partner with a specific nonprofit. And then pretty much on a monthly basis, we have volunteer events that you can go to.
That's fantastic that you're, you know, able to do that with all your, you know, your career and still being able to give back to the community. I know that seems to be a theme amongst our alums too, is just that, you know, desire to give back.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, realizing like service is a big part of just like our makeup, whether it's from Gwinnett or whatnot. But yeah, when I moved to LA, yeah, I had friends, I had all of that, but I think that piece of the pie was missing. So yeah, it was definitely something I sought out here.
What's it like balancing your volunteer work and your job?
It's actually fine. A lot of the, yeah, sometimes we have meetings, we have weekly meetings, but they're at night. Everybody understands, like I said, everybody's a young professional. But we all do want to prioritize it. Again, like I keep saying, like, we commit. You're in it. You actually have to pay like a due in order to get in. You have to give them your resume to look over, to be accepted. And yeah, taking it seriously. So I think we all, like, when you have that buy-in, you want to show up for those people. And then subsequently, you know, the nonprofits and people that we're working for and servicing. So yeah, it's not too hard to juggle, actually. And a lot of events are on weekends too. So it's actually good for like our social life too. You're still hanging out with your friends while doing these volunteer activities.
You worked for Philly's B101, which is one of the biggest radio stations in like the Philly area. How was your experience like there?
Oh, shout out to B101. Thank you so much for asking. Yeah, when I saw that question, I was like, nice. Oh, it's good times. I loved my time there. It was nice. After going to college in DC, I had like a short stint in Baltimore at a sports marketing job. But I was really missing home a bit. And then I was fortunate enough to get the job at B101 and have a fantastic boss who really was a mentor to me. That is a tip I would just throw out there to anybody with their first job. When you're looking at a job, like, obviously, you know, you need to get paid, you need to do all your normal necessities. But if you have the opportunity to really look at a job and like look at it for your boss too, that's something I would like suggest, or, you know.
Absolutely. A boss makes a big difference in your day-to-day experience.
Totally, especially like for your first job or like one of your, you know, early career jobs. They'll definitely make a big lasting impression on you. for better or worse. So if you can find one that is a good fit with you, that's always great. But yeah, the radio station was awesome. It really at that time, because it was still independently owned, it wasn't bought out by Odyssey Inc. yet. It really did act like a small marketing agency. So for me, that was very helpful because I got real hands-on learning on how to, I would go with a salesperson, literally on a sales call, go with and talk to clients, figure out what their marketing needs were. And then because I was more on like the experiential promotion side of it, it was also my job to then fully execute and work directly with my boss to make it happen. So everything from social posts to then obviously on-air promotions, being a radio station, we had like digital and a lot of on-site activations. I just got a lot of on-hands learning, so it was great.
That's fantastic. And then you mentioned that, you thought about maybe going to California when you were looking at colleges, realized that wasn't the fit quite then. And now you've relocated to Los Angeles, where you work at Paramount. Can you give any advice to anyone who's thinking about, we have a lot of students now who go to college far away, which just I don't think was as popular back when we were students. Or like any alums or anybody who is relocating to a larger city somewhere else far away from family, what was that like for you, and how did you manage it?
Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, I'm not I'm someone who maybe overthinks things. So yeah, my move, it took me about like 7 years of me figuring it out, doing tests. Like I visited so many people in a span of 10 years to figure out if I really liked it or gelled. And in the end, it's like, it's another city. You're gonna figure it out. It's not impossible. People do it all the time. So I think taking like the heaviness out of it. And understanding, like, you will land on your feet, you will find a community. I know what was helpful for me. I don't know if it's like cheating a little bit, but it was really nice that I did have a couple of Gwenna girls that were already out here. So even in when I was deciding, one of the first calls I made was to a Gwenna girl and saying, like, is this crazy? Like, should I do it? Because I decided to move like during the pandemic. I was one of those people. And for her to take the time and say, like, no, like, you can definitely do it. You have a tribe here who will support you and like catch you if you fall. But we're confident that you can make the move, and we'll fully support you. So, yeah, advice like, just take the leap. And if it doesn't work out, you always have home. Home will always be there.
What are some of the most important life lessons that you learned from your time at Gwinnett?
I feel like I keep repeating myself, but it is the importance of community, the importance of friendships. When you go out to college or you're kicked out in the real world, you're going to see multitude of people, multitude of beliefs, which is great. But it is nice to kind of have a fallback of people who have a similar value system to you, and people who you can rely on in hard times. Who will pick up the phone if you're sobbing or doing whatever, that they have your back. So I think, yeah, that's a big takeaway I had from Blunted.
With all the excitement in Los Angeles, like, what's your favorite activity?
Have you ever been to LA?
No.
No, you would love it.
It's
You love
beautiful. I
outdoor
was there for a
activities.
week last summer.
Okay. We should talk about. Outdoor activities for sure. That was another reason why, like, moving from Philly to West Coast. I think Philly activities, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, consists of a lot of like, obviously Philly sports, a lot of Irish pubs. Like, I was like, cool, but I think I got my fill of that. I tend to be someone that, will send out a text saying, who wants to go for a hike? It's one of my favorite activities to do here. That's just so normalized. I live 2 minutes away from Runyon Canyon. It's one of the most like popular hikes in LA. So that's awesome. That's right there. I don't get to the beach too often, but when you do, it's great. Again, it's only like 40 minutes away. It's awesome. And the food scene here is unmatched, in my opinion. Again, being a Korean American, K-Town is 15 minutes away. I just went out to Korean barbecue last night with friends. Just having so many different food options here is amazing.
Yeah, I went to a great Korean barbecue when I was there last summer. One of my best friends lives in LA, and I got to spend a week with her. And I had been there a couple times for work for like 24 hours, but getting to spend some real time, I was like, oh my gosh, I actually love it here. So
Yeah.
yeah, that's awesome.
I know this is kind of like a basic question, but like, have you met any celebrities in LA?
Oh God, it's like I don't want to seem like a creep, but my friend lives on the same street as Sandra Oh, so I have seen
Cool.
him and I freaked out. Oh my God, it was yeah. And then who I saw Simu Liu on a hike in Runyon. A lot of celebrities tend to go there. Who else did I see? I saw Reese Witherspoon. From afar though. And then meeting, it's so random, but they were filming, like it was one of our shows for the Dick Van Dyke show. So I met Dick Van Dyke, and then the Dancing with the Stars, they film at the studio, so they came to watch. So I got to meet them, and that was really cool. So
Wow, that's awesome.
yeah.
Very cool.
What advice would you give to Gwinnett girls who plan on following the same career path you did?
Yeah, when you sent that question, it took me probably like 2 days to really come up with a good answer. I hope it's worth the build up, because marketing in general, I mean, Erin, you know, like you said, it's not linear, it's so broad. And so I remember I had a hard time with that sort of acceptance, especially when I was first starting out. You know, I had a lot of friends that were going into nursing, going into law, you know, becoming doctors, and you sort of have this set path. You understand, I go to school, I get this degree, I do X, Y, and Z, and then I'm a doctor. And marketing does not have a map, does not have a plan. I think so, but something that is helpful for marketing specifically, I think, and probably other fields, but I think for this, it's apt. And it's marketing yourself. It's like truly, I know, and it's hard for people who might be listening who are introverts. You're like, oh my God, that's the worst thing I could ever hear. But I think especially in this time when we're still doing Zooms, or is to really make your presence known. Like get on a call, make sure your face is shown. And if you're new, introduce yourself, give a little like 10-second spiel about who you are and what you do. Make those like coffee chats. Just make sure your face and your name are out there. And I think your competence as a Gwinnett girl, it's going to be there, right? I've no doubt that whoever this person is or anybody's interested in marketing can show up and show results. But at the end of the day, in marketing, it's pretty much about branding yourself. People will promote and hire people who they know and they trust, and they won't know that if they don't know or see who you are. So you're making yourself visible, not actually being afraid to like brag about your own accomplishments too, and not waiting till your like mid or end of year reviews. Yeah, I think that's hopefully that's good advice.
I think that's great advice. I was just meeting with our seniors because we do our mentorship program, which you may have heard of, where each senior gets paired with an alum for their senior year as a mentor. And we're just getting ready for like the final quarter of the program. And I was telling them like, this is your first like professional networking contact. You know, it all branches off from here. You know, take advantage, make sure that, you know, you're meeting people and asking them to introduce you to other people and making yourself known. And so I think it's great advice and worth repeating to all of them, you know, a million times. And you'll hear me say it in seminar period too, Brenna. is just, you know, networking and making connections. And Gwinnett is a really great place to start that too. Like you said, you had people that lived in LA who you were able to talk to. And yeah, it's just it's great to make sure that you're building that community. So, thank you so much,
Thank you.
Alex. This has been so
Yes.
great.